Go to RevXFields.com.
KVOE live and local. Good morning on a Thursday. It is 8:24, 48 degrees on our way to 65 before it's all said and done today. And it's time for the ESU Buzz. Our buzz brought to you by Emporia State University. Hands-on learning that prepares students for successful careers. Discover the possibilities at Emporia.edu and by Emporia State Federal Credit Union, Lyon County's leading mortgage lender.
Emporia State Federal Credit Union is ready to help you tackle your home improvement jobs this spring. Looking to remodel your kitchen or maybe put in a new privacy fence? ESFCU has financing tools to turn your dreams into a reality. Learn more at ESFCU.com or text or call us at 620-342-2336. Your locally federally insured credit union by the NCUA. NMLS number 424226.
For the next 30 seconds, think about the future you want to build, because you can build it at Emporia State University. With faculty and staff who truly care about your success, you'll build knowledge and skills in majors that will prepare you for in-demand careers like education, nursing, business, and cybersecurity, just to name a few. At Emporia State University, we're building a new way, a better way to build your future. Come join us. Schedule a visit today at emporia.edu.
Welcome once again to the ESU Buzz, and our topic this week is going to be creating sensory spaces at ESU's White Library, and we're very pleased to be joined on this edition of the ESU Buzz by Dr. Terry Summey, professor in the University Libraries and Archives. Terry, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing good. Thanks for taking some time to join us here. We appreciate that.
No problem.
Yeah, in studio with us here today. Well, Dr. Summey, we mentioned creating sensory spaces in ESU's White Library, and I guess a couple of grants you recently received have led to this happening. Tell us about the grants and what this is going to lead to.
So a year ago, I went to the Association for College and Research Libraries in Pittsburgh, and there were a couple of libraries there that had displays and presentations on some on sensory spaces that they created in their libraries. And so what a sensory space is, it's a place for people to be able to calm down, to decompress, to maybe get away from the stress of the world. But they're really designed for what we call neurodivergent individuals. Neurodivergent, that's a word that I had not encountered much before I started looking at this. But what that means is it's people that are diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder, so it might be people who are autistic or have Asperger's, but then also it could be students with ADHD or students with other sensory disorders. And so what these spaces allow, it has furniture, it'll have different lighting. So when they have sensory issues, like fluorescent lighting can be an issue, and that's what we have throughout the library. Even though we have changed it to a little lower level fluorescent, it's still an issue. They have problems sometimes interacting or with social cues with other people. There's smells. Sounds, a lot of that can be distracting and sometimes very overwhelming. And so this just allows a space where they'll have a space of their own to be able to get away and kind of just not have people looking at them. One of the things that we found is we're doing a space study, and one of the students said that, and I've read this from other people, that when they find a space in the library, sometimes then other people find it because it's a out-of-the-way space, and then they no longer have that space anymore. So this kind of creates one of their own. We're going to be looking at, I don't know, a lot of different things to put in there. But, yeah, I received a $10,000 grant from the American Library Association. It's Library Transforming Communities, and it's for small and rural communities that are less than 25,000 people, which Emporia fits. And then most recently I was surprised by a $10,000 grant from the Women for ESU, which gave me the entire $20,000 I'd asked for originally. And so it allows us to do everything that we want to do.
This is really kind of a notable expansion here of these sensory spaces in libraries. Since you started maybe kind of the initial research process, what have you learned here about some of these other models and really kind of how they structured theirs when it comes to, you mentioned here some of the equipment and things like that, but maybe some of the different information that they used to help them structure their spaces.
So there's a lot of research out there in terms of how people who are neurodivergent deal with the world. But it also, there's, I don't know if you've been to the Kansas City Airport, the new one, they have a sensory room there. If you think about airports can be very, you know, you think of libraries as quiet, but we're not always quiet because we have a lot of people coming and going. We have a lot of students in there. We have collaborative projects people are working on. Well, airports, think about the same thing. You've got people that are coming and going. You've got loudspeakers going off. And so they have a room there that has lower level lighting or variable lighting. And that's what we're going to be looking at is variable lighting that a student can control. Furniture where they can kind of maybe curl up a little bit or kind of be more comforted because they're kind of surrounded by the furniture, like beanbag chairs or things that that they can kind of just relax on. And so fidget things, being able to have some of those to just kind of calm down. I had a student in class I have two nephews who are autistic, and then but I also had a student in class that I did not know when I went into the class that he probably was. Until I started to talk about projects or assignments or give information in class, and I would notice that he would start to pull on his hair, and then that helped me recognize, okay, I need to change my teaching style, and I need to slow down a little bit. So research shows that students, because they don't see the social cues that most people do, they feel like they're on the stage all the time. And so they have to perform to match the social norms, and that is exhausting.
Again, Dr. Terry Summey with us, professor in University Libraries and Archives, talking about creating sensory spaces in Emporia State's White Library. Terry just received a couple of grants totaling $20,000 that will let this come to fruition. Let's talk about specifically what you will be creating now. Are these specific rooms, Terry, or how's this going to work?
So there are two spaces that I've identified. One is down in our basement. It is in our 24/7 area. So the library has two spaces that are 24/7. And it doesn't mean that everybody in the community can come in at night. Once we close the main library at 10 o'clock, then you have to have your student or faculty staff ID. You scan into the building. And so we already have our library commons, which is our lobby area and our basement, open for students to study at any time. But we have study rooms in the basement, so I'm going to take one of those and transform it into the sensory space. So we'll put in variable lighting, we'll put in soundproofing, we're going to buy different furniture that allows them, like I said, to relax a little bit more. We'll have tables that for studying that are can be raised and lowered if they want to stand or sit. There's LED light walls and light curtains that you can put in. So we're going to put those in. And so this space, and then we're going to put a card scan on it. So this space will be a little bit more controlled, which means it won't be overrun by every student. It'll be mostly designed for those who maybe work with our SAS, which is the Student Accessibility Services Support Services Program, or just somebody who we identify. And so we're going to be having some community conversations to kind of figure out what this space will look like.
Terry, I wanted to before you kind of go any further, I wanted to loop back to the point that you made here immediately. I've got two sensory kids, both of which are various spots on the autism spectrum. They also have ADHD or ADD, depending on the kid. And you mentioned here the point about how these children often feel like there's really not a whole lot made for them, and they feel really taxing trying to conform and really exhausted by the end of the school day. My kids come back and it's kind of an emotional flop zone, for lack of a better term, because they come back, the day's over, they've done their level-headed best to try to deal with students that they're not comfortable with, even though they've been around them for a long period of time. So just space like this, you know, it's at the university setting, they're way away from that. But this is... It kind of shines a light, and it kind of shows us sensory parents that there is hope for the kids once they get to college.
Yeah, and so that's one of the things, you know, all college students deal with transitions when they come in. You know, freshmen, they're away from home, they're away from all the support systems that they had at one time. They their parents aren't there. It's a new environment. Some of them are living in the dorms because as a freshman, you're supposed to do that. And so they may be with other students. And so they don't even really have an escape sometimes there if they have a roommate. If they can get a single room, then that helps, I think, because it allows them a place to escape. But yeah, they just don't quite. All of us when we're out in public or on stage, but for those who are neurodivergent, it's worse. So this creates that space for them and allows them to just, be able to do that and have something. I mean, I've seen, so the student I talked about in class, I would see him in the union then kind of pacing up and down the union. And that was kind of how he, I think, one got with headphones on, got away. And so we'll have headphones in there, lava lamps, just a variety of different things. The other space we're looking at is up on the fourth floor of our library. Okay. It's kind of an alcove. It already has variable lighting, but what I'd like to do is put a partial wall there with open doors, and this is going to be for what we call, what is termed neurotypical, which would be most people. So even students who are not neurodivergent, all of our students, when they come to college, have some kind of stress. You know, you think about midterms, you think about finals, you think about getting projects done. They're also away from home. And so we do stress relief activities in the library at midterm and finals week. We started doing some off and on throughout the semester, but this will allow a place for anyone to go. So it won't be as controlled. It will have a variety of things in it. Again, some of the soft furniture where just a regular student can go in. Maybe they're a little stressed out. Maybe they've got some anxiety, and we do have students that have anxiety, which would also be able to use some of these spaces. And so that's the second space that I want to create to be able to have a place for anyone to go at any time.
So what's, again, we're with Dr. Terry Summey, professor in University Libraries and Archives, talking about sensory spaces that will be created now for Emporia State's White Library after a couple of grants totaling $20,000. Terry, what led to this, the idea of this? I mean, what's led you to see the need? Do we have, obviously, a lot of neurodivergent, folks up at Emporia State that you're aware of that says, you know, we need to do something about this?
Kind of. When I went to the conference, I hadn't really thought too much about it, and then I saw the different presentations on it, and so then that's when I started doing research. I came back and I talked to M.K. Hunt, who was formerly at Emporia State. She was our director of SAS, and they talked about how it might be something that would be important that we could explore. They also needed a project to finish out their sociology masters, and so that's kind of how we started with this. And so then we started doing research, and I wanted to. Yeah, so that's, you know, that was kind of the thing. There's other two other parts that I thought that I'd like to add to this. One is, I know that the materials in our library on neurodivergency have not been upgraded for a while, and so one of it is purchasing new materials like books and videos and things for our collection, children's books also, to help other people understand neurodivergency. And so we're going to be doing that. And I do have a student who is undiagnosed. And that's the thing, about 25% of people who are on the spectrum are undiagnosed. especially women and minorities. And so, but she is working, she's a library student, and she is working on helping me to identify titles and create a collection. And actually, this fits in really well because April is Autism Awareness Month.
Okay.
And so we are right here in this month, and so this just happened to be a great time to tie into it. I wanted to circle back to something that Chuck had said earlier. I think Emporia State has always prided itself on being accessible, being an accessible campus. And so actually our spaces will be probably the second space on campus. We already have a faculty member down in the Teachers College, Melissa Gerleman, who used a grant to create a flexible classroom. And I taught in it the other day, so I was able to see it firsthand. But you know how, you know, probably when all of us went to school, you had the desks in rows, and they're hard to sit in. And, you know, now if you try to put a laptop in your book and take notes, there's no space for any of that, and those desks don't fit everybody. Well, this is a different one. It has soft chairs. It has couches. It has regular chairs. It has tables where you can write on. So it has a variety of different furniture in it. So students, instead of sitting in a desk the entire time, can pick what space fits their needs. And so it's going to be kind of the same thing with this, that students will be able to pick what space fits their needs and what can help them out.
When will you get started in the creation, or I want to say construction, really not construction, but there is some of that obviously involved. So when will this start?
So the grant actually started on the 1st. We received it, and I need to check to see, you know, if the funding's been transferred, so we always have to wait for that.
Sure.
I guess the check is in the mail. So, and then there's some other materials that I'm supposed to be receiving I have not gotten yet. There are 4 trainings that I need to go through, plus an online course, so I'm working through those. At the end of this month, April 30th, I think is what I set it at. We're going to have what's called a community conversation. So, and I'm going to do it in a hybrid format. So we'll do it with people in person, but then also people online, so that if there are students who are neurodivergent who would not want to be in a room with a lot of people, this will allow them to be able to come in and voice their opinions. I'm thinking about so that'll allow me to take that feedback from there. Use that to finalize my plans, make any changes if I need to, and then through the summer I'll be working on that. I would like to maybe do a survey in the fall, and then also have another community conversation, maybe kind of have the plans after I develop in the summer put out there in the fall and be able to show people kind of what we're thinking, and then have people vote or say, yeah, this is what I like, this is what I don't like. And then, do the construction. Everything has to be completed by the end of March of next year, of 2025. And so that's when we're planning on probably having the grand opening and have it ready to go. The other thing that I want to do is to create a workshop or bring in a speaker for professional development for faculty and staff on how do we teach neurodivergent students, or what is neurodivergency and what does it include? So I'll be looking, you know, at some kind of a speakers bureau to see who I can bring in to be able to do that and have that workshop for, like I said, students, faculty, staff, just to kind of educate us. Because, like I said, it was something that I struggled with for a little bit in terms of how do I do this, and then to try to explain it to maybe other students as to why I've slowed way down and working with different things.
Well, there's a lot to be taking place here, and the way it sounds here, Terry, a very short period of time here to make these spaces happen.
Yeah, about a year.
That's going to fly, too.
It will. I know. I'm excited about this. I pulled in one of our newer, younger librarians, Melissa Emo, to help me out with this. And so I've got a lot of help. I've got a lot of support. I've already met with the people in our SAS area and our counseling area. And so they're on board. I've tied in Melissa Gerleman. I'm going to tie in as many people as I can, see what groups there are out in the community to maybe help with this also, just to figure out what we need to do and get moving on it. Probably the construction and buying the furniture will be the one that'll take the longest. But I think, that's gonna take the longest, and it's getting on the list because there's a lot happening at Emporia State, and there's a lot of construction things going on, and even some destruction.
That is true. Speaking of education, with what's taking place at Butcher right now, and then clearing the way here for the student and nursing, the wellness complex. My gosh, that is
becoming there's a lot going on. That's for
big space.
For sure. A lot of positives, and this certainly is one of them. Creating sensory spaces coming to Emporia State's White Library. Well, Terry, congratulations on the grant awards, and great job on the idea, something that will obviously be put to good use at Emporia State. So good luck with this.
Thank you. Libraries try to be welcoming to all people, and sometimes we don't make that because of the different things that we have going on. And like I said, that we can be busy places at times. And so this should allow us to be a little bit more welcoming to that population that maybe would like to have a space to get away or to be able to relax and decompress.
Well, we look forward in following this project here that is on the fast track, about a year, and it will be coming to fruition. Dr. Tommy, thanks again for being here. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Anytime.
And our ESU Buzz brought to you this morning by Emporia State University, hands-on learning that prepares students for successful careers. Discover the possibilities at emporia.edu, and by Emporia State Federal Credit Union, Lyon County's leading mortgage lender, and NMLS number 424226. It's 845.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Producer prices, a measure of inflation.